at verse 15 with me. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Guys, that's for all saved people. There is not very many saved people that even read their Bible, let alone study their Bible. Good churches will try to go through books in the Bible verse by verse, like Caleb is doing in Sunday school. Sometimes preachers will preach expository messages through the book to try to help you. But still, that does not absolve you from studying the Bible on your own. And I am amazed at the ignorance of saved people in our generation that cannot discern between good and evil, worldly and ungodly, holy and unholy. And it's because they don't read and study their Bible. So I had a great time. I've taught this course several times, but I've had a good time with the group that we've had. Pastor Matt, Brother Dan said the same thing. And there ought to be a desire in your heart to learn. Now, I've tried to tell them over and over, it's not about filling your mind with knowledge so you can brag about how smart you are. This is about learning something so you can grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and be a better Christian. Amen. So he says, study to show yourself approved unto God. A what? I guess that's assuming you're going to go to work for the Lord. Amazing how many saved people go to work for a paycheck, but they won't go to work for the Lord who died for them and shed his blood for them, rose again for them, and saved them. Well, I'm too busy. But you're not too busy to earn $20 an hour. Anyway, I'm not preaching, I'm teaching tonight. That needeth not to be ashamed. You ever been ashamed? I have. I'll tell you, it's a place I don't want to be ashamed. That's the judgment seat of Christ. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Lord, sure love you. Good to be in church. I pray that, Father, you'd bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so I am trying to finish up. What we left off was the dispensation of law. Now, this covers, I think, like over 1,490 years of your Old Testament. Every dispensation starts with God gives man a responsibility. Man is supposed to obey God. Every dispensation ends with man's failure to obey God, and then the judgment of God falls on man. So the dispensation of law, God is dealing specifically with the nation of Israel. He's not dealing with Gentiles. He's not dealing with born-again Christians. They're not even there yet. And so that dispensation, now we looked at the law, we looked at the commandments and all like that. Now, the law goes from Sinai, Mount Sinai, to Calvary. What you have is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to Galatians chapter number 3. Throughout the dispensation of the law, guys, you have miracle after miracle after miracle of God delivering his people. Amen. It starts there with the miracle of the plagues in Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea, Moses going up to Sinai, the 40 years in the wilderness, the rock moving, the water coming from rock, manna coming down, and it just goes on and on through Joshua and Judges and the kings, the captivities, the restoration of Israel, and then the dispersion and all like that. In order to understand your Bible as you read it, it would help for you to know the rightly dividing part about it and the applications that you can make there. So let's go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Look at verse 13 with me. Christ hath redeemed us from what? You know how everybody says, Caleb, we're not under the law? God redeemed us from the curse of the law. Are y'all with me? Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. I like to read after the Puritans because I think they have a different view of life and worldliness than we have today. Yeah. And I read this message this week. I can't even tell you the guy's name. I forget it. But he was talking about a holy life and how Christians should be centered on how lowly they are and how holy Christ is, and have a desire to draw nigh to him. And with that desire is also a desire to leave sin and carnality and draw close to God. Now, it sounds simplified, but I mean, most saved people love their flesh and they love the things of the world. And the Lord says, love not the world, neither the things of the world. Is that right? And so what we have is, I think we have a bunch of saved. I'm not saying they're not saved, but they're so shallow you couldn't drown a gnat in them. Say amen. There ought to be some depth to our life. Did you ever notice people? I think Pastor Matt mentioned this. You look at people when they walk in the door and you can tell right away what kind of mood they're in or what kind of situation they had. I don't think that's a good thing. I think they should see the joy of the Lord.
Well, I don't have the joy of the Lord.
Well, fake it. You know what Brother Homer said? He said if he died of starvation and was on his way to heaven and met the devil, he said, I'd tell the devil I choked on a T-bone steak. Amen. Why is there all this centeredness on self? Pity me. Feel sorry for me. Or, are y'all with me? That's craziness. My Lord died for me. He became a curse for me. You know what else every dispensation shows you? The failure of man. Man's a failure. And then it shows the lack of faith in man. They don't want to be saved. They don't want to follow the Lord. And then every dispensation, you see the grace and the mercy of God. It's amazing. So Christ died under the law. Now turn to Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. He was made a curse for us. Colossians 2, verse 14. In Colossians 2, 14, the Bible says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Under the dispensation of law, what's the number one word? What's the top word that describes the law? Justice. With justice, there is no what? No mercy. No mercy. So our Lord here, he died under the law, but he also died for the law. Why? To redeem a people who would not keep the law. Look at Galatians 4, chapter 4, verse 4. That's us. Galatians 4 and verse 4. The Bible says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. He died for us. What did the dude, okay, throughout the whole dispensation of law, you have the prophets, you have the word of God, and what are they doing? They're pointing to the Messiah. They're pointing to the virgin-born Son of God. They're pointing toward Christ being the Messiah. What did the Jews do? They rejected him. Look at John chapter 19. John chapter 19. John chapter 19, look at verse 15. The Bible says in John 19, verse 15, but they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. That's something, isn't it? They rejected Jesus before he died. Look at Acts chapter 7 with me. They rejected Jesus after he died and after he rose again. Acts chapter 7. This Acts chapter 7, of course, is mostly the story of Stephen. But I want you to slide down there to verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and gnashed on him with their teeth. What did he preach to them? He preached that Christ was their king. What did they do? They rejected it. Now, can I make an application? What's a king do? He rules. We talk about Jesus being our, what was that word? Lord and Savior. You know what, in a spiritual application, you know what a lot of saved people do? They reject Jesus from being their king, their Lord. I'm going to live my life the way I want to live my life. I don't care what the Bible says. Same thing. Except they've had the eyes enlightened. That's a crazy situation. So we are ran through. Pastor Matt did a review of a study on Old Testament survey. Go through the kings. We get up to Calvary. Now, last book in the Bible is? Huh? Did I say last book of the Bible? Are you sure I said that? Did I really say that? Okay, last book of the Old Testament. That's what I meant to say. From the end of Malachi's book until the New Testament Gospels, there's 400 years of silence. Nothing from the Lord. Why? Those people turned to idolatry. They didn't want anything to do with God. You know, we as parents, we want to teach our children about God. That's why you use the rod of correction. That's why you chasten a child, because the Lord chastens his children. Is that right? We want to teach them about the Lord. So we teach them about rod of correction. We teach them about mercy. We teach them about grace. Are y'all with me? And certainly most of us parents have really taught our children about long suffering. I just lost what I was going to say. 400 years of silence. That's it. I think it was Gabriel gave an illustration that he got crossways with his daddy, and his daddy just didn't talk to him. And that silence was killing Gabriel. Well, you know what happens? When your heart's not right, God's not going to talk to you. And that should bother you. Amen. You know, most of y'all, you come to church to get something. And God speaks to you. And at the end of the church service, you come and you talk to the Lord about what he spoke to you about. Don't take that for granted. When I go to church, I want God to talk to me. Now, I want him to tell me what a great job I'm doing. I want him to tell me how wonderful I am. But most of the time, he doesn't do that. I didn't say all the time. I just said most of the time. And one preacher said, God's not mad every Sunday. Wow. Okay, so we get to the Gospels. What I believe that at Calvary, they rejected Jesus Christ. Okay, guys, if I can sort of draw you a picture, we're going to be getting into the dispensation. Some people call it the dispensation of grace. I prefer to call it the church age, okay? Because I think the grace of God is through beginning to end. But here, you have the Old Testament prophets. I know you guys are going to love my drawing. Okay? And so the Old Testament, that's his eye looking. He's... Are you laughing at me, Marissa? Okay, he is seeing prophecies that God has given him. But what he's seeing, I'm sorry. We need a new board, Pastor Matt. He is seeing mountaintops of prophecy. Okay? So when he's seeing this, and then he's seeing this. What he's not seeing is down here, and down here is a church. Okay? We have the first coming, and then we have the second coming. Those Old Testament Jews didn't know nothing about a church age coming. In fact, it was the Apostle Paul who was given that in Ephesians, and he was relating to everybody else. Why? Because if the Jews had received Christ, he would have set up his kingdom. Now, what I personally believe is okay. Okay, so we have the dispensation of law. And that went from Mount Sinai to Calvary. Now, question, when did the church start? Personally, I believe the church is a living organism. When there is a birth, what's involved? Blood and water. So I believe that the church was started at Calvary. Some folks believe that the church was started at Pentecost because of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. I don't have a problem with that. Personally, I think that there is a period of time from Calvary until about Acts 7 that the Lord gave those Jews another chance. And if those Jews had repented and had acknowledged Jesus Christ as Messiah, I think he would have set up his kingdom. But at in Acts chapter 8, what's the big story in Acts chapter 8? Bree? The Ethiopian. Ethiopian. That was a black man. That was a Gentile. That was not a Jew. And he what? Got saved. And then what? Got baptized by immersion. Amen. And then in Acts chapter 9, what's the big story there? Huh? The apostle Saul, eventually Paul, got saved, and he's known as the what? Apostle to the Gentiles. God gave him the gospel of the grace of God to preach, and then you have the beginning. So however you want to work that out, now we're into the dispensation, what I call the church age. Tell me something that you know about the church. What is the church? I'm not trying to trick you, Josh. It's the body of Christ. And who makes up the body of Christ? Born again believers. That's quite a privilege. There's no Old Testament saint that got born again like you and I got born again. There's no Old Testament saint, not Abraham, not Enoch, not Adam, that is in the body of Christ like you and I are in the body of Christ. So you have the church age, saved by grace. The Lord is starting his church. Let's go to Ephesians 3. Y'all know Matthew 16. Can anybody give me a rough translation of Matthew 16? Thou art Peter, and upon this. Are y'all with me? What are you, checking your phones or something? Ephesians 3, at the beginning of the church age. Ephesians 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the what? It's a mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 with me. Well, you're in Ephesians. Go to Ephesians 1. Look at verse 22. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. 1 Corinthians 12. In the Old Testament, God was dealing with the nation of Israel. And he was dealing with the heathen nations. In this dispensation, he's not dealing with nations. He's dealing with individuals. 1 Corinthians 12, look at verse number 12. Bible says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. See verse 13? For by one Spirit are we all what? Okay, what baptism is that? Is that your water baptism after you get saved? No, it's a spiritual baptism. When you trust Christ as your Savior, the Lord baptizes you into the body of Christ. You become part of the church, the body of Christ. It's spiritual. Are y'all with me? Now, listen, there's some Baptists believe that it's water that does that to you. I don't believe that. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. And there's a whole lot of good preaching here. It goes at the foot. Are y'all with me? I mean, does your body fight with itself? Well, we shouldn't fight among ourselves. Okay, go to Romans 6. Book of Romans. Look at verse 14. Romans 6, verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. We read that Christ died, he was made a curse. And the law pronounces a curse on us. Do you understand? Okay, I am not under the curse of the law. Okay, the law demands justice. Well, if you don't fulfill every jot and tittle of the law, then you're guilty of sinning the whole law. Well, that's been lifted from me because Christ fulfilled every jot and tittle. And then he became a curse for me. So he took my judgment, he took my curse, and he shed his blood and gave up his life so that I could be saved by the grace of God. Now look at Romans 11, 25. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. So, under the dispensation law, he's dealing with the nation of Israel. Do you all understand that? Everything in that book is written for us, but not everything in that book was written to us. Okay? But we can learn from all of it. So he's dealing with Israel. Now we're in the church age. The Lord has literally set Israel aside, and he's dealing with individuals, red and yellow, black and white. Ye must be born again. At the end of the church age, we know it to be the rapture. Okay? What does he do in that 7-year tribulation period? He goes back to dealing specifically with Israel. Lots of people say this, okay? They read their Bibles, they see all the promises, all the things that God does with Israel, and they say, okay, we're in the church age. The Israel didn't get them fulfilled, so now they make spiritual application and says it applies to the church. That's not true, guys. Amen. If God told the Jews something, he's going to do it for the Jews in his time. Amen. And at the end of the church age, which is the rapture, we get taken out. So we're not under the law. Let me show you God's attitude toward in this dispensation. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. In 2 Peter 3. Look at verse 9. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is what? To us word, not willing that should perish, but that, who'd he die for? Died for everybody. One of the wicked tenets of five-point Calvinism is called the limited atonement, which says that Christ died for the sins of the elect, which they say that if somebody is in hell, their sins were not paid for by Jesus Christ. They could not have gotten saved. Listen, that's a wicked, wicked, wicked doctrine. I don't have time or tripe for five-point Calvinists. I'm not going to debate them. I'm not going to argue with them. They usually think they're smarter than God anyway, and so I couldn't do anything with them. No, he's long-suffering. Now, how long is he long-suffering? Huh? I want to ask you a question. How long did this guy have before he woke up in hell? A couple hours or something? A few hours? I'd say it's pretty gracious. I'm sure I shared with you when I went down and saw my brother, you know, when he had that accident and probably was brain dead, but he was on that machine. I went over to him and I took 5 minutes and I whispered in his ear that the Lord loved him. And I told him this. I said, Don, if you can hear me, I said, the Lord loves you. And I said, if you'll turn from your sin and trust Jesus Christ and him alone, I said, he'll save you and you can go to heaven. Amen. I believe that. Amen. I had the president of my Bible school, his wife was a RN. She was a nurse. She was a wonderful lady. There's two things that she said over the course of 3 years that I actually remembered. One was, when you go by a water fountain, drink a bunch of water. That was 1975. That was before all this, what do they call it? Aqua something. Huh? Yeah, everybody get into all this water and stuff. But she said, your body's made up of so much water, and you ought to drink water. Drink water. Stop drinking that soda and all that kind of stuff. Second thing she said was this. She said, boys, she said, one of the last senses a person loses before they die is their hearing. He said, they could be in a coma, have no reaction to anything, but they can hear you. They may be able to hear you. I'll never forget that. So I never hesitated. Somebody was in a coma or dying or like my brother on life support. I witnessed to him. I have a niece. She was going out with a boyfriend, and he had a brain aneurysm. He ended up in Temple University Hospital. I went in there. They had him on all the machines and everything. I walked over to him. I called his name. I gave him the gospel. I said, if you can hear me, they're telling me you're in bad shape and you're going to die. I said, if you die without Jesus Christ, you'll wake up in hell. I said, but if you can hear me and you believe Christ died for your sin and you're a sinner and you want to get saved, I said, Christ will save you. I believe that. That's the long-suffering of God. I'd say he was long-suffering with you and I. Yeah, that's his attitude. So I've told you that every dispensation ends with judgment, right? So you're going out of church age. Now we're going to heaven. We're going to shout hallelujah, right? We're going to the judgment seat. And I'll tell you what, you know, I don't think you should look on that lightly. I think it's going to be a tough time for us. I really believe that. Well, what's God going to do with the Jews in the trib? He's going to judge them. Time of Jacob's trouble. The book of Acts, as you study the book of Acts is transitioning. It's transitioning from the Old Testament law, transitioning to the New Testament church age, age of grace, however you want to refer to it. Okay? That book covers a long period of time into the 90s, almost 100 AD. When are they saying that John wrote Revelation? 90 AD or something like that? So it's covering that time from the time of our Lord's ministry in the Acts, in the Gospels, and then into the book of Acts. Okay, so man's condition during the church age. Sin is imputed. Man is lost. Romans 5:12. Man is condemned already. What's man's failure? Get saved. Trust Christ. Here's what some people, listen, after the 7-year tribulation period, the Lord comes back, the second advent, I'll get into that, okay? And then he sets up his 1,000-year reign. Do you know what people are teaching? People are teaching that the world's going to get so good that the Lord's going to bring in his kingdom. Okay, so I've been walking this earth for 69 years, and I got news for you, it has not got better and better. Now, you're 20, you're going to be 25 years. Can you see in your short lifetime things getting worse? Do you follow me? And yet there's saved people think we're going to preach the gospel. People are going to get saved. The world's going to get better and better. It's going to get so good. God's going to say, oh, it's so good down there. I think I'll go set up my kingdom. That's ridiculous. Amen. I'm telling you, the blood is going to flow to the horse's bridles. Amen. With judgment. This is a crazy world, guys. I was talking to Tim. I don't believe that the corruption in American government is just starting. I believe we've been corrupt a long time. Amen. But they kept it in the back rooms. They kept it underground. Now they are so wicked. They are so divorced from right and wrong. They're proud of their corruption. I mean, can we just talk about abortion just for a moment? Okay. The Bible teaches that the marital relationship is just supposed to be for married people. Is that right? How many married people do you think are having abortions? Would you say very, very small? Very small. So who's having abortions? A bunch of whores who are so stupid, they can't even go and get birth control. So stupid. Are y'all with me? So they have this license to live licentiously, and they talk about the freedom of their body. And then because of the consequences of their sin, they want to murder somebody. And the blacks are calling abortion, the lack of abortion, us voting against abortion, white supremacy. Yeah. Every time you turn around, blacks are accusing us of white supremacy about something. Are y'all with me? If you have ever entertained the thought that abortion is okay, there's something bad wrong with you. You're not reading a holy Bible. The word pregnant isn't even in a King James Bible. I mean, here it is, with child. Yeah. When does God think that life starts? God thinks it starts in conception. Amen. Read your Bible. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. Study to show yourself. Guys, listen to me. We can get so busy that we'll even read our couple pages or chapters or whatever we do and just read it and not get anything out of it. I don't know about you, but I've got to have something from God every day. This flesh of mine never takes a break. This world's sirens, allurement never takes a break. The adversary never takes a break. Why would we not read that book, study that, find out what God thinks about something? You young people that are married, you should establish this thing on the Word of God. And then God's judgment. Where's people going to go that reject Jesus Christ? They're going to hell. A literal place of fiery torments forever and ever and ever. Those of us that are saved should not want people to go to hell. Amen. We should be willing to stick our neck out and be embarrassed or be yelled at or something to try to get somebody saved. I mean, the Lord went to Calvary for us. And so there's, during the dispensation of the church, there's saved people, believers' peoples that fail. What's their failure? Submit to God. Not make him the Lord and master of their life. Here's another failure we have. Evangelizing the world. He told us, go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. It is our responsibility to get the gospel out. Your faith promise should not be a burden to you. It should be the most prized investment that you make this side of heaven. It's the souls of men and women, boys and girls. I don't care about 401k. I don't care about IBM stock or whatever. Say amen. That faith promise money goes in to support those missionaries. They preach the gospel. We preach it here. They preach it there. That souls would be saved. That's the redemption. Listen, the redemption medal was silver. I want to get some silver when I get there. The professing church, how's it end up in Revelation chapter 3? Apostasy, compromise, worldliness. If we learn anything from studying our Bible, we should learn, I don't want to go down that pathway. I don't want to do that. And I don't care who else does it. Thank the Lord, though, that we're saved from the tribulation. You read your Bible, starting about Revelation 6 and go through to Revelation 19. That's a tribulation period. There's a lot of bad stuff happening here on this world. I'm glad I'm not going through that. Amen? But you know what? Some people will get saved during the trib. You know what's going to happen to them? They're going to have their heads chopped off. You and I got saved. My parents made fun of me. My brothers and sisters made fun of me. Boy, that was really rough, wasn't it? My dope addict friends made fun of me. Oh, boy, that was just unbearable. People in the tribe are going to get saved. They're going to have their heads chopped off. I mean, what? Our Lord was willing to take all that shame, all that reproach, all that curse. And we won't go outside the camp and bear his reproach? We should. I want everything about me to sing, I'm a born-again Christian, and I'm glad to be born again. I'm glad to be saved. Okay. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. In Acts chapter 20, the Bible records that the elders were given the oversight over the church. The Lord establishes his church. He establishes his authority in the church during the church age. When you study church history, a good way to study church history is the seven churches of the book of the Revelation. And the greatest age there is that church age of Philadelphia. When you study the world history during that age, the Word of God, what we got in our King James Bible came from there. The evangelization of the world began and went through there. Just God did tremendous, tremendous work in the book during the time of Philadelphia. And then you and I are stuck in Laodicea. We didn't have a choice in the matter. We're in it. But I'll tell you what, we have a choice that we don't have to be Laodicean. I fight that in my life. I have fought that in our churches as I've preached all these years. I'm going to continue to fight it. I am not coming into a Wednesday night service and just think, well, it's Wednesday night. We'll just go through the motions. I won't shout. I won't sing from my heart. I won't listen to preaching. I'm not doing it. We're going to meet with God. I want to meet with God. I want him. We're going to come up. We're going to pray before church. We're going to pray during church. We're going to ask God to deal with our hearts and hopefully walk out that door better than we walked in. We're going to try to be a blessing to somebody. How about that? I mean, how about having a kind word instead of a sharp word for somebody? Hey, some of you, how about having a word? Okay, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Let me get there. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, because of time, you know Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14 talks about the blessed hope. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 17, when we're called up, trumpet, last trump, shout, all like that. Revelation chapter 4, first three verses talks about the rapture. Word rapture is not in our King James Bible, but it means to be caught up with joy, caught up in ecstasy. And buddy, if you and I get to be raptured, we will be in ecstasy. Amen. Amen. Can I say something to you? When's the rapture going to happen? Do you know when it's going to happen? Okay. Now I'm getting older. I get more contemplative as I get older. Now I know this never happens to y'all, okay? But every once in a while, especially in the last month, I've gotten in sort of a moody situation. Forgive me. I've already asked my wife to forgive me. You know, when you're moody, you're not a blessing to nobody. Is that the way you want the Lord to catch you? That's what I thought. Oh, Lord, you come back. I got no shoulder to complain about. Then I'm in your presence. Here I am, a moody old man. I don't want to be that way. Amen. How about when you get cold? You get backslid. You want to be caught in that situation? I don't either. How about when you fight with your wife or husband? Now, I know y'all don't do that. You want to get caught like that? Keep short accounts. He's coming back. We are closer than we have ever been to the Lord coming back. You see everything going around us. There's all kinds of messages, as it was in the days of Noah. We can just line up Noah's characteristics. You line up what's going on in the world today. When I was a kid, I would have never believed to see the things that's happening in America today. Amen. Okay, what's going to happen in another 20 years? Oh, you young married people, you better get some God in your life. You better get some God in your marriage, and you better get some God in your home. You better leave alone all that social media nonsense. Amen. You better not bring in the world's movies, the world's TV, the world's internet, and you better spend some time in that book. Because I'm telling you, perilous times are upon us. And if you want to raise up some kids to go out in that world and go to hell, buddy, the world is just waiting to bring them in. And you better pray that every time those kids come into church, they're not bored out of their gourd because mom and dad are bored out of their gourd. And you go home and you criticize this person or you criticize that message, you criticize that special. You are sowing that rebellion in those kids. You're damning them. That's good preaching now. Now, I'm not preaching, I'm teaching. You can't get mad tonight. I'm not preaching. I'm teaching. Amen. Dispensational truth. You all with me? You get one shot at this. When he blows that trumpet, buddy, there's no, hey, Lord, give me a do-over. No do-overs. Amen. So then we come up to the tribulation. So this is what I'll stop with tonight. The rapture ends the church age. Did you ever think about this? A body. You got a body. Did you ever think this thought? When the last person is saved and added to the body that completes the body is God's timing to take the church out.
Amen.
Now, I'm not teaching that as doctrine, but it's a thought.
Amen.
It's a thought. Because the Lord knows what? He knows everything.
Amen.
Before the foundation of the world, he knew everything. You see, when you talk about, I know I'm rambling just a little bit, but you talk about election. I believe in election.
Amen.
My Bible says, make your calling and election sure.
Amen.
I believe because God knew that you were going to get saved, and God knew what the adversary would do before you got saved, I believe there's an election involved. But I don't really understand that either. So what? It's by faith.
Amen.
It's by faith. Okay, let's pray.